Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Tori.
Today
is Wednesday, November 9th, probably one of the most memorable days in recent history.
Yes.
For those of you under a rock, Donald Trump is the new president with 289 delegates there, and Clinton with 218. So the mood is somber in Southern California, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
I was walking around last night in restaurant areas, and TVs are on and nobody's watching.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's down, everybody's sad,
yeah.
Everybody's pissed. Well, actually, last night I just saw a state of shock.
Yeah, I think this people are more in shock. Yeah.
Yeah, this morning the anger is starting to come out.
Yeah, I think people are just like, no, but it just, everybody was wrong. I think that's what just is crazy, is that everybody was wrong. The
right.
polls were wrong, the pundits were wrong. The politicians were wrong. She was so certain. We were so certain.
Right. Everybody,
everybody was wrong. So right. It's just, you can't trust anything. And like Tom Brokaw said last night, America at least is moving at warp speed. From Obama to Trump is like incredible.
That's true. Yeah.
So I'm really sad. I know as a woman, I'm really nervous. I know I was with a bunch of girls last night and there was a lot of tears. I know my LGBT friends are nervous about their rights. I know people on Obamacare are nervous for losing their health care. And I'm worried for the legacy that we had in place. So I hope Trump gave a concession speech that was kind of weird. No one looked kind of happy if you watched.
Mm.
He looked kind of in shock, too. Mm. And he said, I'm really trying to unify this country. I really want us. This is really important. So, hey, if I was wrong now, maybe he's going to turn out to be a great president. I have no idea. I really don't. The one thing I know is I don't know anything.
Yeah.
And that a lot of this country is a lot more sexist and racist and divided than I thought.
Okay. Okay. You know. But at any rate, everybody was blindsided,
yeah.
I think, right?
Yeah.
Nobody expected this.
No.
I think the celebration was premature. And
the polls meant nothing. I mean, she had a 3 to 5 point lead in the margin of error, was
right.
over the margin of error. I mean, it was out. There was fireworks planned at the Hudson River. Katy
really?
Perry was going to come out and sing the national anthem. I mean, Gaga was ready. We were just so prepared
right.
for this big. She had a glass ceiling, literally, at the building she was in.
Hmm.
She was going to come out and point up to that glass ceiling. And so it just caught everybody by surprise. Hmm. I think it caught the Trump by surprise.
Yeah, right? I don't think they expected this, at least not by this margin.
I don't think Melania really wants to be first lady. I mean, I think it's a lot of craziness in the country. And what it shows is we know nothing. At least California did a lot of change and made a lot of progress on propositions. And I'm proud to be a Californian.
Yeah. So now, one thing I don't know about, and maybe you can help me on this. Did they raise the cigarette tax? I need to know that.
I think they did.
It probably went through,
I think,
right?
So, yeah.
There's nobody to defend it, so.
Well,
defend smokers, so there you go.
Prop 64 also passed, so weed,
right,
weed is
weed.
Recreational.
And you know that I voted no? I finally sat there and I said, no, because I don't like the way it's written. I do not want to see commercials on TV of weed, you know? And plus, it raises the prices, too. So, but it passed.
So you're in shock, too. No,
yeah, I'm in shock and awe, too, just as much as everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think anybody expected this. I didn't see a lot of celebration the rest of the country.
Yeah.
So they're not really showing a lot of celebration.
There is a picture going viral of the KKK marching openly in North Carolina.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's, you
but
know.
But there's this people marching at UCLA also. So.
Yeah.
Let me take this call real quick, Tori. Let's see who we got here. Good morning. You're on the air. Is it?
Sam, they did raise the cigarette tax to
$2.67,
I believe it is.
Yeah, $2.78, I think. So,
I just wanted to chime in on it. This is Casey, by the way.
Thank you,
yes.
Casey.
Hi, Casey. I'm going to have to quit now.
I'm not
man.
Such an upset American today.
Yes.
I had to give my girl Tori a hug this morning.
He sure did.
Yes. And I was going to give her one too, but she seemed too down.
I'm too down.
I didn't want it to seem condescending
right.
or anything. You know?
Because it is a way of, like, the first female president and the most misogynistic president, and he wins by almost a huge, like, a bit, much bigger than we thought. It's sad.
Yeah, I think that. you know what, Tori? I never even looked at that side of the argument, and you're right.
Yeah.
I think that's where our country's maybe is not as ahead of the game as we thought.
Yeah.
Because there's, it is, like you said, you had a misogynist male and you had your first female. Yeah. You know,
look what happens. Yeah. So it's just.
But I just want to say hello. I love you guys in the
morning.
Thank
you, Casey.
I got to step away for a second. I'll call you back.
All right.
Thank you, Casey. Bye. All right. So we do, by the way, have several guests here in the studio. We'll get to them in a few minutes. Exciting. I always love to have full house here.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fun. And, yeah, you know, so I don't know how much more there is to say because a lot of people are not happy. I don't think this is a time to really go back and say we told you so or anything like that.
Because I don't, I don't think you did tell us because I don't think y'all knew either.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What's
no.
interesting, though, is.
But the people that did vote for Trump.
No,
you know,
I
figured that we knew, you know.
You know, yeah, but what's interesting is if you look at the millennial map that's going viral, those millennials who voted, if it just was the millennial vote, every single state was blue except for three. Even Mississippi and Texas were blue. So there is a future that is bright. The millennials were outrageously for Hillary. And hopefully, as the generations pass, that becomes true. I mean, even Mississippi, Alabama, all of these states were blue, if just for the millennials. So there's future and hope. It's just right now, it feels like there's a child in the White House. Or,
right.
You know.
Well, you know, and also a lot of millennials are young now. You know, I think when they... when they get a little older, many of them might get conservative, you know. So
I don't know. I think millennials are a lot more progressive and secular than this generation. And that's hopeful for me, but I don't know if that's true. I don't know anything.
Yeah. No, I just think there's been a general feeling of America has been hijacked. And that's why they're saying we want America back. And it didn't really occur to me what they're trying to say until last night.
Yeah,
you know?
Women and blacks and anyone who is a minority doesn't want the country to go back because for shit.
No, I understand. But there's also a problem with politically correct and everything. And people feel that our country's just been, you know, open, wide open to everybody and a lot of different influences. And some people want the tradition.
You are right. You guys won. I mean, we won the popular vote. But you guys won. So obviously there is a lot more undercurrent of anger that Obama, I have to say, and the Democrats did not go into. We underestimated the amount of anger of a huge portion of the country. So that's on us. And she apologized, Hillary Clinton.
Really?
Yeah. She said, I'm sorry that this is a shock and I think it woke us all up. I mean, really.
Yeah.
So it's, I hear you, but at the same time, going back when you say that to a woman, a black person, a gay person.
No, but it's not necessarily the case. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think people
But you know
what
I'm saying?
Back.
When you say we want America to be great again, well, again is in the past, like saying it used to be great. It wasn't great for a lot of people and it's terrifying.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. It depends. It depends.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a white male, it's great, but it's not great for
there's a lot of women too, white women that voted.
Hey, he won the college educated vote. 29% of Hispanics voted for Trump.
Right.
I don't get it.
I spoke to an immigrant who owns a market last night. I stopped to get a soda. And I mean, he can barely speak English. And he's like, yeah, I'm glad Trump won.
Yeah, I don't get
it. Because I'll tell you, I think there's a lot of stereotyping. I think he's been painted like a demon. And, you know, by the media, by the left. And maybe he's not that bad. Maybe he's not. I don't know.
Okay.
Everybody's trying to predict what's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't think women are going to go back. I don't think blacks are going to go back.
When
go
he
back,
says,
really
when my
don't.
First day in presidency, I'm going to defund Planned Parenthood, women are going to go back.
Mm.
That's terrifying. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of my friends get their birth control, cancer screenings. That's terrifying. He's going to go back on Roe v. Wade. That's terrifying. Mm. That's really scary to a woman, especially at my age where your friends are getting pregnant. I mean, that's really scary.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I know a white male might not feel that, but the emotions are high because it's real consequences for us. Does that make sense? The
yes,
stakes
it
are,
does. I mean,
and when
I'm
you say you can grab
you.
Him by the pussy and you win the presidency, that's a lack of respect that we're feeling worldwide. I mean, Patton Oswalt tweeted, wow, we're a lot more sexist than I thought than racist, and we're really racist. I mean, it's just interesting. So it makes me nervous. That's all.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get to our guests right now. And so we have filmmakers, actors, everything you could think of right here in the studio. We're going to be talking about a new film. And we're joined by, first of all, Isaac Medeiros. Welcome to the show, Isaac.
Woo-hoo. Good to be here, guys.
Thanks yes, thank me. You for coming. You're a filmmaker.
Yes, sir.
You created a new Western, right? A spaghetti Western.
Spaghetti acid Western.
Yes. What? Acid, too.
Oh, definitely. No, it was a special little genre that kind of emerged in the late 60s, early 70s. Films like El Topo and Pat Garrett and Billy Kid, and later evolved into pictures like Dead Man in the 90s.
Right. And all the Italian spaghetti films, too, right?
Corbucci, Leone, all those cats, man.
Right. So you're obviously a big fan of those.
Very much so.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Yeah. Now, joining you have two of the stars of the movie, right?
I do.
Jeff Shea. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Welcome.
Good morning.
And we also have Glenn Baggerly. Welcome to the show, Glenn.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Three very handsome men.
Very rugged. I feel like I'm camping.
Yeah.
With like the hottest guys ever.
So, Isaac, you did good casting on the
really
stars,
good.
Right?
Definitely.
I mean, we need rugged cowboys.
It's rugged yet vulnerable.
Yeah,
I love
right?
it. Love it.
I'm blushing.
Don't turn red now.
I know. These guys are like the nicest guys, and then you're going to see them in the trailer and the film. And
they're horrible.
So tough, you know? So, but that's good acting. That's when you're convincing people, hey, I'm more than who I am in real life, right? That's what acting is about.
Fun little fact, too. This guy over here used to be the Bowflex guy back in the day.
No way!
Yeah. I'm sorry. He used to be what?
The Bowflex guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, remember that commercial,
love those commercials.
Yes.
I definitely recognize you now, man.
Wow.
That's really interesting.
Are you still like in muscular shape?
No.
Yes.
No,
yeah.
Not anymore.
Yes,
how long ago was that, though?
It's been 16 years. I was 41 years
good
old.
Good for you.
Wow. I mean, so for that age, I mean, you must have been pretty good.
Oh, I was
pretty good shape.
The
right?
abs very look great on you at that. Right. You look great.
Steroids.
I remember it.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen to the mic when you talk, though, Glenn.
All right.
Only 16 years ago.
Just 16.
Wait, okay.
It's okay. We'll buy it.
Yeah, Isaac was five.
I don't remember.
He was a zygote.
And Jeff here was actually in Reservoir Dogs.
No way!
Yeah.
Really?
Part in Reservoir Dogs. Yeah.
That's cool. So, actors, Isaac, have you done any acting at all? Or
I dabbled when I was a kid. It's a fucking terrible job.
Yeah.
Thank you. You see, with Isaac, when he talks about his past, it has to be about being a kid because he's very young.
Oh, yeah, you're young.
You're 21?
Yeah, he's real young.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, your actors here were telling me that you were young, but I didn't realize that young. Wow. Congratulations to you. I mean, that's amazing. Right. That's probably the first reaction you get, right?
Sometimes.
I mean, an old soul, you know, I can produce a movie at 19, 20, and it's going to be a good one, too.
Yeah, Sam, when we met him, though, he was 20 when we met him.
Yes.
Wow.
Prior to that, he had already...
Two features.
Wow.
So.
Whoa, that's very interesting. So how did you meet? Were you putting out a casting call? How did it happen?
Glenn and I had met each other about 2 years before this. I had cast him on another picture. It didn't go through. Fell apart. But we remained friends. And so when I finally got a time to do this picture, I decided to bring him on. And Jeff here, it was just simple casting call, man, I put out. I don't remember what it was on or something, but... he had a good resume and a good look, and he killed his audition.
Wow,
nice.
Very cool.
Nice.
Friends.
Well, do you have a? You must have like a pretty large cast, would you say, or is this like
the
does this focus
got about
only
25 people in it? Probably.
Wow.
20, 25. Yeah.
That's a pretty big film, would you say? I mean, it's
decent.
Not just a little drama or anything. Mm-hmm. Now, is this a full feature or short film?
Yeah, 96
wow. Really?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yes, absolutely.
So you guys worked hard on this.
We did work hard, very hard.
It was fucking brutal.
Wow.
Absolutely brutal.
I think what's significant is when you watch this film and you realize that it's a love story. It's people that looked at this script and said, you know what, we all know there ain't no money in this thing, man, but we're going to do it because we believe in that script and we think it's going to blow people away.
Wow.
Literally blow them away.
Yeah, we absolutely do. That's the reason why we chose to, the two of us chose to do it with Isaac. Mm-hmm. And it was absolutely brutal. It was hard work.
Right.
We came together as a very cohesive team and we still stay together. I mean, most of us still hang out together and we know each other.
How cool is that? You see? You love the people you work with, you know?
Stockholm syndrome is what it's called.
Yeah, that's right. So since you were a baby, you were just ambitious. Like, you seem this chill, like, stoner kind of dude vibe, but, like, you were, like, totally ambitious. Like, you also have this hard drive, right?
Yeah, very much so. Well, I fell in love with movies when I was a very little kid.
Do you remember your first favorite?
Well, I used to grow up watching Roy Rogers and Gene Autry there singing cowboys from the 40s. Nice. I loved that shit. But I think The Jungle Book was an early memory.
Nice.
Mm. And I stole my mom's big camcorder that she had from the 80s, and I used to shoot movies in the yard when I was about 8.
Right on.
And that just evolved.
Little Spielberg.
A little Spielberg. There you go, you know. So you always had this attraction to movies and stuff.
Yeah.
Early movies that you remember in your life that affected you that said, man, I want to really be in movies and make movies?
Well, my first film that really just, I knew I had to make pictures was, I was about 15 and I saw American Graffiti for the first time. Still my favorite movie to this day.
Wow.
And, you know, doing this was very against the grain. Dad was a Southern Baptist preacher, so the idea of making pictures in Hollywood's not exactly something they advertise you to go and do, you know? But that film just blew me away, man. And, you know, like First Blood, I was a big action fan when I was a kid. Uh-huh. And The Searchers had a big, John Wayne, John Ford. Oh, wow. Blew me away, man.
So these are movies from before your time. It's not there was any new movies.
I don't really like modern movies as much, man. I didn't see a film in a theater till I was 18 years old and I went to college.
Wow.
Really?
Is there any director now that you do like?
Oh, well, yeah, I love Martin Scorsese. Okay. And Tarantino and those
guys. I was going to say Tarantino. I bet you have to like Tarantino. The shit, like The Hateful Eight. Yeah. I loved The Hateful Eight.
Wasn't that cool?
God, I loved it.
Yeah.
As a feminist, I hated it. Man, I love that movie.
No. Daisy Domergue is power, women power, man.
I know. There's a large discussion on that, though.
No, we'll talk with all the shit of a man's world and has to suck it up. And I know, Kill Bill and all that stuff. That Quentin's
everything else is very feminist in his, except for that one. But we'll talk later.
All right. Yeah.
No, it's true. But he does have, Tarantino does have strong women.
He always has, except for this one.
Which
I wrote
one?
A huge The Hateful
strong.
Eight. Yeah, she is strong. When she gets is beat up and
one,
killed.
Right?
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
She poisons Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So yeah. She does get revenge.
It's just different from those. Yeah, we'll move on.
Here all day.
So so the film is Cold Chains, Hard Hearts, and Bloody Hands.
It's a mouthful, yep.
A mouthful, but yet it describes the film pretty well. You guys can see a couple of trailers on YouTube. Just search up the name. And
what's the plot of the film?
Yeah, tell us a little bit about the plot.
Well, you got a fur trapper who kind of deals with a lot of bad shit.
Are you the fur trapper?
No,
I am not.
The gentleman is not here with us, actually. Gets attacked by a couple bad guys and then gets rescued by prostitutes and they go crazy and mess with
Normal day.
Normal day. Normal day in Los Angeles.
Normal day on a Tuesday. Totally.
Been
there, done that.
Goes through all that shit and then stumbles upon a deserted church building out in the middle of nowhere. And inside it is a United States Marshal, Glenn, over in the corner there, who is dying. He fell off his horse and broke his back.
Wow.
And he's got four prisoners upstairs, all murders.
This is like Tarantino. I love that.
Right? Yeah, it's fun, right? Four murders that he's bringing into trial. And he's going to fail. He's going to lose, and he's not going to be able to get him there. And so before he dies, he tells the fur trapper to do it. And the fur trapper agrees to for reasons that we don't find out till the end of the picture. And the film is him trying to get the four of them across this treacherous wasteland and to deliver them. And all the harsh and snowy terrain and the crazy shit that happens.
Wow.
There's a nun in there, too, who gets raped by this guy and seeks revenge. It's a really fun subplot.
How'd your dad take that one?
Typical
day.
Yeah, he was pointing to Jeff, by the way.
Yeah. Thank you for pointing to Jeff.
That was a fun day on set, man.
I can't imagine.
13 takes later.
So, Jeff, what kind of a role do you play in the film?
His name is Stonewall Worthington. Mm. And he's Stonewall was a sailor, but he got kind of caught into the Civil War marauding and caught up with these four band of characters that the marshal was bringing into justice. And he's a little off.
Mm.
He's not quite right. A little PTSD from the war. Mm. And he just carries it on and on and on. No respect for human life. He just
really.
And
wow.
Although the band of characters that he's with aren't really nice folk, they're just as bad as he gets singled out, I think.
Really?
Yeah. He's not so bad. Well, maybe he is. You'll have to go see the film. And
there you go. You know, we need to tease the film a little bit. And Glenn, the part that you play?
I play U.S. Marshal James Denver, and I'm figuring the years in the 1880s. I was in the Civil War. I won't tell you what side I was on, but I took out a hell of a lot of bad guys.
Really?
Just
wow.
The bad guys. And the joy of it for me was I've dabbled in this business for 30 years, but I don't know a guy that I've ever met that wouldn't want to be in a Western.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just something about a
Western. Very male.
You put the gear on. Exactly. You put the gear on. You put the wardrobe on. You strap that gun on, and you become it.
Right.
You just become
that's
the guy.
That's true, right? Oh. Yeah. I know. The most recent one I saw was The Magnificent Seven.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I really love those Westerns, you know?
The original was better.
Yeah. Which one?
The original Magnificent Seven.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I'm just saying this is the most recent.
It was fun,
because
they
don't make a lot of Westerns anymore.
No.
Right.
They're risky now, man. People don't think.
Yeah.
Why? Because people don't want to see them?
They're not moneymakers.
But don't you think, even as a woman, don't you love Westerns?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be in the Western because I would have probably been a whore at the bar. You know I would have been the one with, like, smallpox and chlamydia itching all over the place. But, man, is it fun to watch a Western. And I love going out west. I went to a cowboy dude ranch. I galloped in the Aspens. I used to jump professionally, like competitively with horses.
Right.
So I loved it. I mean, I love the cowboy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? Yeah, it's an American icon.
Oh, yeah.
You know, definitely, And you guys are totally appropriate for the roles, obviously. Glenn, have you done... what kind of films did you do before that?
Oh, my. Well, real quickly, I started in the 80s. I started modeling. I was a fashion model, runway model, sports modeling. Got into the commercials, infomercials, industrials.
Wow.
Kept moving on. But I'm from Portland, Oregon, and right now the indie film market up there is
huge.
Big.
Yeah.
We don't have a big union market. And I said to myself about a year ago, I said, look, there's some darn good scripts. These young filmmakers, they're going to be the ones that are doing it in 5 to 7 years. I'm not going to ostracize myself and say, nah. So I jumped on board, you know, even in this film here. We did this for no money. I didn't make a dime on this
really?
Film.
Really? Wow.
I didn't care about making a dime.
How long were you guys
on? And you're a professional, yes.
Yeah, how long were you guys on the set?
It was a 26-day shoot. Wow. I think I had Jeff for about 2 weeks total, and Glenn was, three to four days.
Now picture, this is in Central Oregon. It was zero degrees.
Minus
30-mile-an-hour wind. The sleet is coming in, and the wind is blowing so hard. Tears are coming down my face, not because I'm crying. It was that severe weather. We didn't have wardrobe. We didn't have trailers to go to when it's cold. We're sitting in our cars, turning our cars on to get in between scenes. And that's why it's just the love of what we did.
That's
here,
dedication.
We just bucked
it's
it
hard,
up.
Yeah.
And we said,
yeah,
let's make a film and let's go to L.A. and show them what we got.
Yeah. Isaac, so you got extremely fortunate in meeting some great people.
Yeah, you can tell when you're looking for the right people, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So a little bit about you, Isaac. You were born and grew up in Alaska.
That is correct.
You keep freaking surprising me.
Yeah, right?
Hyder, Alaska. The population was about 87 people, I believe, total.
And your dad was a Baptist?
Laugh, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Minister, and he also worked for the Forest Service, and he was carpenter. So, full. My mom worked for the post office.
Wow. Did you, like... Did you eat, like, moose?
A bear, actually.
Like a bear? Like, am I right?
Yeah, I killed two bears, one at 16 and one at 17.
All right. I feel like this kid. All right, whatever. This is amazing. And then what happened?
What happened? Oh, I got the bug to go make pictures and moved to Oregon for 1 year, went to film school. I've never done very well with people teaching me anything. I can't do it, and it just doesn't work for me. And so I dropped out of college. Well, I shot a feature while I was in college. I used to steal all the camera equipment from the lab.
That classic.
Well, you know, it's fun, though. Nice big 1950s picture like Grease, and that was fun. And I got introduced to the Portland scene, and I wanted to move down to California. Spent a year in Hawthorne down by the beach and moved up to Studio City. And I've done two features since I was here, one out in Simi Valley and then another one up in Oregon.
Is there anything that scares you?
The dark spiders and maybe death just a little.
Okay.
Not totally.
That's fair. That's fair.
Moderately.
Yeah, that's true. But as you grow older, you realize death is not that scary anymore, you know?
There's nothing there. I'm not that
scared. It's just that you've got still a lot of time ahead of you.
No.
So I can see where you go, I still want to accomplish a lot. Don't talk to me about
that. Well,
I
tell these guys all the time, too. I've always felt like I'm not going to be around too terribly long.
Really?
Is that like a Jim Morrison syndrome in my head a little bit?
Really?
And so, seriously, I have like big hurry, man.
Yeah,
I know a lot of people talk about doing things, but if you really want something, you got to go do it and not make excuses for it. And so
there you go, you know, and that's the inspiration that you get from young, talented people like you, you know, that actually pursue their dreams. Yeah. They do what they want to do, and rather than just talk about
it's the naivete and bravery and stupidity of a young.
They mostly can just the last one.
Yeah, but I mean, really, they don't. They just that's the risk they take, and it's so brave.
Yeah,
I think that's what impressed me about this whole thing. When I met him, I said, "Kid, won't you? You're how old?"
Yeah,
and he tells me, and I said, "I'm 3 times." Your age, and that's what drove me to fall in love with the guy. He's 21 years old.
Yeah.
He wrote it, he cast it, he directed it, he filmed it, he edited it all by himself.
Wow. Do you have siblings?
I had a sister pass when I was a kid.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No worries.
Wow.
Yeah. So, wow. So this is pretty cool. Now, so your parents weren't like crazy about you doing this?
No, not at first. Mom came around, and then she's been my biggest fan supporter on earth.
Are they still in Alaska?
Yeah, still up there. She's postmaster right now. So, yeah, and mom's been so supportive. It's not even funny. I wouldn't have been able to do anything I've done without her.
That's very cool.
Man, you know, it's just good to make pictures. It's the only time you ever really feel alive and free is when you're out there and taking chances, like what Werner Herzog used to do, drag a bunch of people off into hell on earth, capture real natural, like, you know, fear in the eye. Cool thing you'll see in the picture is you couldn't afford blood bags, for instance. We don't have that. I learned this technique when I was a kid. You tape a blood bag inside the shirt, you cut a hole in the back of the shirt, you run a 12-gauge shotgun along the back, pull the trigger, and it blows out. It looks
wow,
amazing.
Wow, cool. That's so cool.
And the actors are terrified.
Yeah, right.
A live load right on the side of them. You see the fear in their eyes. Man, these people are freezing their asses off. Hung two guys on a cross in the snow naked for 8 hours. They're freezing
Jesus.
By them. It's real. You'll see something cool in it, you know?
Wow, wow.
Put it this way, the union would not have...
Yeah, I was going to say, SAG would have not liked that.
I'm not assuring you.
I'm like all SAG scaled out on that one. Wow.
So you actually had to shoot in that rough weather.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Snow on Sundays.
That's part of the story.
Up and down hills, snows in your boots, in your underwear, yeah, falling down. Yeah.
So does the plot take place in the places that you shot, or did you shoot it in place of
Well, you know,
places?
I wrote it for a certain environment. I saw it, Hateful Eight, actually,
and
The Revenant, both, which are two of the movies I've loved last year.
They're like,
and,
yeah.
Oh, they're so good.
Yeah.
And I loved a lot of it was in the snow. So I was like, all right, we're going to shoot it all in the snow. To adapt, you get on location. It was Clint Eastwood who said, you know, good director adapts. He does what works with his environment. And so that's all we did, man. If it was raining one day, it'd be like, hey, it's raining in the scene. Let's fucking film it. Or if, hey, it's snowing today, let's capture the snow.
Wow, how cool.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I always view, like, making movies as such an insurmountable task. You know, it's like there's so many different things to do.
No, it's horrible.
And, you know, in big films, people say, well, it's like a business. Everybody's got their little thing that they do. But with you, it's like you did everything.
Most everything, yeah.
Wow.
You got a very talented composer.
And again, it's not a short film. I mean, this is full feature.
It's a full feature. Isaac did absolutely everything.
Not
this
everything,
kid has brought us out to the middle of nowhere. We shot it. We teamed up with him. Every night, Isaac, we would shoot this all day, him filming, maybe one crew member holding audio. Every night, Isaac would Bare bones. He would go home. He would edit. He would cook us dinner himself.
Who
he would serve us himself. He would come down and show us daily, you know, like at, you know, 12 midnight. This is what we're going to do tomorrow. This is what we need to do in 2 days.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll take whatever he's on.
Dude,
I'll take some of that. Right?
I'm like, should I go to McDonald's? They're in and out. Sad, man. That's
incredible. Don't drink coffee either. I hate caffeine.
That's
it's
amazing.
Terrible.
Yeah, what's your secret? What do you say? No caffeine? Is there anything else?
Caffeine, man. Well, I like sugar a lot. That helps.
Okay.
Sometimes.
That's good. That's good to know.
Get your sleep, man. That's good. I don't sleep, though, actually. So that doesn't
matter. Right? You need to get
really
a lot
love
of sleep.
Man. If you like something,
yeah, I just love
that's
something.
That's the motivation you need, man.
Yeah,
it'll
I know.
Keep you going even when you're tired.
That's right, you know, and that's what I do. And sometimes even when I'm tired, I can't get to sleep because my mind is like constantly all the time, right? You need to quiet it down.
Seriously.
Yeah. Very cool. And where did you grow up, Jeff?
I grew up all over the place, mostly in San Diego. I'm just a surfer.
Yeah,
oh, really?
Right on.
But before I moved to Northern California, I'm from Mount Shasta. I'm a South Bay Angelian.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I can. But after I'd finished, I worked with did stunts. Actually, with an old guy named Paul Stater, who used to be the body double for Johnny Weissmuller. That's who I learned stunts
from. Oh, really?
From. Yeah.
Tarzan.
He passed away, though, in 91, and I didn't do anything really after that. I did maybe a couple feature films, some small stuff, and I decided to take a break. I wanted to go raise my family.
Oh, wow.
So I moved to a small alpine community, Mount Shasta. I started to ski, do some backcountry skiing, some mountain climbing, and raise my four kids. And my last one has gone off to Chico State University this year, and I am free. So,
how many do you have?
We have four.
Four?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm. You're not free. So you're still married.
Yes, 25 years.
Happily.
Yeah.
That's
wow,
great.
Congratulations. That's awesome. What about you, Glenn? Are you married? Do you have family?
No, I'm not married. I'm originally from London, England. My mother's British. My dad was a soldier. And so I'm a Cockney mate without the accent. But most of my life, I've lived in Oregon, done quite a bit of traveling.
How did you end up in Oregon, of all places?
My dad loved gardening and plants.
That's a good build-up.
And yeah, wait, well, I'm high hanging on.
Pause.
Pregnant pause.
Give it and time. He liked Oregon because he said, Glenn, it's a type of ground here. You can throw a seed in the ground and it grows. And that's what he loved about it. Anything grows here. And he loved plants and whatnot. And so that's why we settled just south of Portland. And
cool
I went to school
story.
At University of Oregon. I was a baseball player. Had a very good career in baseball and played
really?
Professional
okay.
baseball. I went to Italy and lived in Italy for 3 years after college. And came
what
back.
What did you do there?
What did
in
I do?
In Italy, yeah.
Oh, I did a lot of
things.
Yeah,
me too. I spent a year in Italy. I go, I've done a lot of things.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, when you're the only American on the team and you're 22 years old, it was a pretty good ride.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good ride.
I'm sure you traveled all over
all
Europe.
Over.
Yeah, that's
Italy.
What happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no, but it, in the back of my mind, I mean, I've got two boys. One is 30 and one's 22. And I've always wanted to come down here and do this business because I've known in my heart I can do this business. And, you know, I plan on moving down here within the next 6 months. I've got a very good resume and I've got some good stuff on reel that I'm going to get out of this film. And this is the Mecca. L.A.
Right?
is the Mecca.
Yeah, if you want to do it, you got to come here.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why this kid here, I mean, at 21 years old, you give him 3 to 5 years, everyone's going to know his name because he's passionate about it. He's doing it the way it needs to be done. He gets in there and says, look, I want to be a filmmaker. Watch me. Mm-hmm. Watch me.
Right.
Watch
and
me.
I have a lot to offer, you know, something different.
And
you know?
You're getting so much experience.
Yeah.
Unstoppable.
Yeah, right? Now, what did you do about music for the film?
Very good score. Actually, about to be finished this next week. Guy up in San Francisco named Miles Ito. He's just fantastic.
Is it a minimalist score? Am I Ang Lee-ish right now?
No. We're talking Ennio Morricone, Bernard Herrmann type stuff. And it's a little off kilter, man. It's the choirs, the female operatic voices, and electric guitars, and the violins, and
sort of discordant at best.
Yeah, man. It's El Topo, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. It's Dead Man. It's some cool shit.
Wow.
Yeah, it's good.
Is there any females other than the nun who gets raped?
Not raped. She gets beat up a lot.
Oh, I thought she got. No, that's fine. Totally.
And she kills some guys.
Oh, right. She kills
them.
Balance
it out, man.
But is there any females or mostly male?
Yeah. Well, there's three hookers. And there's an outlaw.
Dana,
and then
she's
a
lead. Yeah. She's
chained,
got a powerful
chained to
part.
A wonderful actress, Dana Day, for 15 days.
Oh, she got so pissed off there. Chained again. He kept slipping and sliding all the time. He'd fall down. And she's like, he's yanking my fucking arm. He falls down. It's great.
You're handcuffed or something? You're chained? Yeah.
Real handcuffed, yeah. At one point, we couldn't get them off.
That's hilarious, thinking, isn't it?
No, not
at all. Wow.
Wow. No, Isaac, I mean, I'm not going to dig into where the money came from, but I would think, like, I mean, you guys had to use horses, right?
Yeah.
We had
a couple small investors, man. Jeff said, you know, it's not a micro budget, it's a dental floss budget, is what he called it. So, you know, there's bare basics here, enough to get food and costumes, but I've always been pretty good at begging people. And if you can't beg them, you can trick them into getting you some.
I feel like you like quietly manipulate quite well.
All the time.
Yeah.
The time.
Like he would, I'm already feeling, am I being manipulated right now? No.
Yeah.
You've got a great sense of mystery about you, of like, you don't know where you're going next. Kind of, he's good at poker. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
Glenn and I were just talking about this coming in the studio today. I asked him directly, you know, you have kids approach you and they haven't got a script and they want you to read it. They see your resume and go, can you read it? And we talked about it and I said, there was a moment. You pick up the phone. How come you didn't put it down?
Mm.
And I said, I don't know either.
Ooh.
And I kept listening.
Wow, that's the
listening.
Good moment,
I kept
isn't it?
Listening.
Ooh, chill.
And I got hooked.
Yeah.
And I said, oh.
Oh, no. I'm stuck.
Agree.
There was that
Agree.
Moment where he committed.
Agree, man.
There was just one moment for
when
you.
When I read the script, he goes, Glenn, do you like the part? And I just remember saying, dude, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Isn't it? So as
I'm
an
in.
Actor, when you're handed a role and even in the description, I'm sure that it is like the best filet mignon with truffle sauce. Like you want to gorge yourself. You just want to be part of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm starving. No, I'm just kidding.
I know.
But
I know.
It's like the meatiest, juiciest thing you can do. And you do it for nothing. You would do it for anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
true. Did you guys get to eat any beans? I mean, there's always eating beans. And
beans.
No.
Did
hot,
not eat
hot dogs
beans.
And marshmallows.
So much
once.
Farting.
Once.
That's
terrible. I'm never going to fucking forget that, man.
Yeah. But no, on the screen, didn't you guys eat beans when
no,
you sat around
man.
The fire? What did they
no.
eat? What did they eat?
Nothing. There's really no sitting around the fire. They're always moving in this picture.
I guess
man.
I'm thinking about these Italian spaghetti films. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I clearly remember when I grew up.
They'd sit around by the fire with beans.
By the fire with beans, yeah.
So do you spend the whole time in the interior of the church or most of it? Or you guys exit and...
No. 10 minutes in the church.
Oh, I see. Okay, so there's movement. Oh, wow.
And 80 to 90% of the movie is outdoors. When you do a low-budget film, you want to do everything you can to make it feel as big and happy.
That's so interesting because I was thinking, oh, he must have done the whole thing in the church to make it easier. But you're saying it's completely the opposite. No,
exactly.
As much as you can, because nature's just a free set, man. You get out there and it's big and big and it's expansive and you can do whatever you want out there.
Wow.
And the locations are very specifically picked. We found an old fort out in the middle of nowhere. We found an old building out in the middle
of
nowhere.
Did you have permits or we just...
No. We got yelled at by one man.
Permits?
Yeah, what's that?
We're on set in this 150-year-old cabin, and you know the guy's supposed to shoot the gun, and I want to see a reaction shot. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to put a hole in that back wall right there. Bags is like, you're going to shoot the old cabin? It's authentic. This thing's real, kid.
It's leaning. It's lifting.
Oh, the thing's leaning halfway over. Right, one round. All right, let's put a second one in there, boys. Do it again.
That's hilarious. Right,
this is a historic cabin, and he blows a hole in the door and going, dude, you got to be shit, man.
Now it's more historic. Doing, that's right.
Yeah, listen to Baggerly's defense. I'm on the second floor, and Baggerly's on the bottom. He's
shaking the
post. These posts. I'm going, just stop it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
When you see the film, and I think it's always interesting to me, when you see a film and they're trying to be in a cold environment, the breath, when you see the actors, it is so big and powerful as they're walking through the forest. It's just...
It's another whole character,
you know,
isn't it?
Yeah. You can't manufacture that. This is real cold
It's
weather.
Pretty brutal. There's moments, man. We were shooting across a river once, so we had to go across this river, and we all go across this log, and the sound guy is a big guy. Justin, and great guy. I could not believe how much he did. But he goes across the river. He slips. He slides. He gets like washed halfway down the river. He's hanging to the fucking log there. Justin had to walk back to his car with like hypothermia. We ended up getting one shot all day. It was like, oh, dude, all day we get one shot. It was rough, man.
Yeah,
you know?
He didn't completely make it to the set.
Jeff's up there with Dana. They're trying to warm each other up. You know, just like holding
each
other's hands.
Other naked.
It's like, guys, we're gonna film in 10 minutes. You good?
But it's definitely memorable experiences.
Oh, yeah.
How many people get to actually experience that?
Oh, yeah. People pay for that shit, right?
Exactly.
Should have charged you guys money. Where's my paycheck?
There you go. Right. Well, there's
nothing worse than seeing a CGI breath, is there?
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. It's like the difference between just like... the CGI breath is the worst.
Oh, it's terrible, man. It's CGI bad. Anything is terrible.
It's really bad. It's gotten crazy prevalent all over the place. Things they could do in real place,
they
and they still just CGI
it's cheap, man.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Although many things they can do that they couldn't do otherwise, of course.
Couple of
you
things,
know.
A couple of things, it's true.
Yeah. So the film is due out in December. Next month. December 8th.
Test screening, yep.
Awesome.
What's the name of it again?
Cold Chains, Hard Hearts, and Bloody Hands. And you guys had better be there. I'm going to give you a ticket.
Yes! That sounds
wow,
so
I can't wait. You know, people can go and see a couple of the trailers on YouTube as well, so you can check that out. And you're saying this is your third feature film? My God, man! This guy was making films before he came out to the world.
How did you know how to speak actor? Do you know what I'm saying? And I guess I'm asking everybody.
Did he not know?
Because that's interesting.
We don't do that.
Isaac doesn't speak actor.
Got it. Okay, that's what I thought. But as an actor, how was that?
If there's a scene he wants you to work in, what he does is he comes to you and he talks to you about it very definitive, very detailed. And then he says, now, go work on it. And then come back and show me. And you go work on it and show me. He says, no, that's not, I don't want to do that. And you go work on it and show me. And you come back like that. For this one, you're talking about the rape scene, which is actually, I worked with a wonderful actress, Heidi Ramay, and we worked this detailed, very good scene out. We get to the set, and Isaac says, no.
Oh.
That's not the way I want to do it.
Wow.
Man, come on.
Yeah. You work so hard.
So, yeah.
Well, you lose the spontaneity that way.
No, it's like Buddhist of you.
Yeah, almost like he doesn't want you to...
He wants you to
get into the character, but he doesn't want you to think about it too much.
Too much.
So a lot of spontaneity.
Yeah.
Is it improv
on scenes?
Yeah, no storyboard or shot list ever.
Oh,
never. You walk on set the day of, see what things look like, and then you just work your way through every shot.
Wow.
And
keep you on your toes, dude.
When you do it that way, you can't prepare them for that, and so it's natural. You try to get them in the first couple of takes.
Sure.
It's very real.
Yeah, absolutely. I just, when every day I wake up and I just step out that door and pause.
Like, yeah. Here, I got to pause because I know this is going to be a thinking task.
Yeah,
all
that's
day.
Tough on an actor, but that's cool.
Well, they ask for motivations, too. I've never totally understood that, especially this guy here. Glenn's a bit more of a Jack Nicholson. Just go, let me do the fucking scene, leave me alone. Yeah. Jeff wants to know what his motivations are. One day he comes, he says, what's my motivation? I was like, I don't know. John Wayne did it in Stagecoach. Fucking do it, man.
That's like Lawrence Olivier when he was like, just act. Remember that from Dustin Hoffman?
Do your freaking job.
Yeah. He was doing all method for Marathon Man. He's like, just act, dude. Just act.
Well, that's what's interesting. When he sends me a script, we've got a relationship now to where Isaac, send me your script, but I'm going to put it in my own words, kid. Okay, Glenn, just do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, he just
gives it to me and he lets me nail it and we look at each other. Are you happy with that? I'm happy with that. I'll move his words around so it flows off my tongue a little easier and he lets me do that.
Yeah, the freedom to
do that. When I step up in front of the camera, when he says action, I'm not acting. I'm the dude. Mm-hmm. I am the dude and it makes him so much easier to work with.
That's
just you wrote it. Let me put it in my words and we'll knock this thing out.
Yeah.
So do you, I have a question. Do you, when you say detailed for him, is it a visual thing you're giving him? Is it background? Is it ideas? I'm a really visually detailed person. Are you like, what is so detailed about it?
I try to describe to him, first off, where I'm going to go with the camera and stuff like that. So, all right, you're going to end up down here. I'm going to go over there. We're going to do that. It's going to look like this. And then just try to break down what I want them to do very specifically. I think the closest guy I've ever seen do that is Mel Gibson when you watch him direct.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's crazy, but he's good.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch him go through scenes and he'll do every movement for the actor.
Mm-hmm.
That's the actor inside him, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so I like to do that for them. And then I'm
almost
like
act it out.
Do it just like I did right there, except do it in your own way.
I see.
But then he wants you to take the character and he'll go, nope.
Right.
That's it. That's a thing I want right there. And you. With Isaac, I call it the thing to, further answer your question. He also, doesn't number the pages of the script.
Whoa,
he's completely in format. So once you have to get into Isaac's head at some point. And
it's a singular idea coming from that idea.
Yeah. Now, if you don't have a storyboard here, does that mean you're shooting in the right sequence that the movie takes place? Because usually when they make movies, they take shots all over the place and then edit them together.
Well, you never flow with the script from front to start. That's just stupid. I don't like that. You do what works for the day. You map out what's going to work with your schedule and with your budget and all that. But when you're in the moment, I try to work through a scene from start to beginning. So if I'm going to shoot page 3 to 5, just start at 3 and work your way through to 5.
Mm.
Unless something miraculous happens and it starts snowing, it's like, oh, that looks really cool. All right, go over there. We're going to shoot that right now. Be spontaneous.
A lot of instinct. You work on a lot of instinct.
It's more fun that way.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it otherwise. It wouldn't be any fun.
But a lot of 21-year-olds don't have any fucking instinct. It's very interesting.
It may not be instinct as much either. A lot of films, I'm a freak for films. I've seen probably 20,000 at least.
I see.
And so you develop a movie library of every person who's ever been good, and you steal all their ideas.
It's like the Rolodex.
It's in your head. It's like, oh, okay, we'll do that.
That's good.
It's like a compound of everything that you've ever seen.
That's why Quentin's so much fun. He's like a movie library. And so when you see his films, it's a little bit of every film that's ever been made.
I mean, Quentin worked at a video store. He was a video store clerk.
Yeah.
And he knew that he knows one of the, like Scorsese movie. Also, the background of every movie. He has the crazy encyclopedic knowledge about film.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's why you get different genres so well placed together.
Yeah. I guess when you watch a film, you guys, you see differently than just a viewer watching the movie, right?
Oh, yeah.
You guys look at it from a technical point of view.
Especially a Western is very technical.
Yeah, there's a lot to it.
And an arc of the good, the bad,
mm-hmm.
The sunset riding. You mean there's a storyline kind of there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I'm sure you fucked with it.
definitely.
The actors took on their own tasks after a while. We were our own art department. There was one scene where we had a scarf in the way. And we had little bit of a monologue in the middle of the scene where everything was going fine.
Happy day, first one.
Yeah, Isaac stops and goes, oh, F! What? We thought there was a snake on the ground or something. One of the actresses had a scarf on for most of the day. Starred all over.
Back to the drawing board.
No way.
You're remembering a lot of things, so you're just looking at it, and then later you're like, oh shit, that scarf's modern. Modern.
Modern.
But
you don't have any backups, so you're doing it all on your own. There's no supervisor.
No continuity. She's got the scarf on.
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
Yeah,
it's like all of you are responsible to make it work somehow.
Yeah.
And there's nobody to notice that. I know, I do. do these things all the time because there's so many things you need to look for in the scene. Who's going to pay attention to the scarf? You know,
it's easy to get mad. You had one fucking job, and remember your costume.
Exactly.
And don't lose it. You only have one.
Picture a good rock and roll band. Y'all ain't played together in a while, but when you get on stage, you just look at each other. And we had a particular scene. It was the end of the day, and I'd waited all day to do my scene. I mean, it's cold.
Oh,
it's ass biting cold.
It's witch's tit cold.
We do the scene, and that night I go back to my little rig where I'm staying, and I woke up about 3 a.m. and I said, Glenn, you didn't give them what you needed to give them. Go in there tomorrow morning, and they're all sleeping in this little broken down tavern from 1880s on
the huddled by the fire.
And I walked in and I told Isaac and I said the rest of the crew and I said, you guys, I want to make this the best film I possibly can, and the scene I gave you yesterday afternoon was not it. I'm asking you, let's recut the scene, let's do it again this morning. And they just stare. And I look at Isaac and I said, kid, I got a better one, give me the better one. And he did, and we went back out and we crushed it. Now, what have I ever done that in my career?
Never. No. You never do that,
But I did it on this one because, you know, we were establishing a relationship, actor, director, and he said, Glenn, I'll do this, but if you do not come through, dude, you are in deep.
That's trust, dude.
Yeah.
And we did it, and that's the beauty of it, to have the courage to go up to this director, a young man, and say, look, kid, I got a better one. Mm. And we did it.
Because there's some directors that are very famous where they're like, I'm going to say Kubrick and stuff like that. There was no discussion. Cool. I love Kubrick, but there was no actor trust. Really. I mean, it was a very hard set to be on and everyone sort of knows it. Mm-hmm. So there's a different style between that. But I mean, then his movies came out crazy good. But it's a different energy on set, I assume.
Yeah. That's the thing. You know, some of the greatest bosses were not great, you know, like Steve Jobs and stuff. You know, I mean, you don't have to be great with people to create good art. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So not everybody's nice, you know.
Is there an actor you really would want? Who's the number one actor or actress that you'd want to work with?
Leonardo DiCaprio is the shit. I love that guy.
Interesting choice.
Really?
He's the best.
Wow.
Yeah. About it.
And as far as actresses, who do you
probably
like?
Cate Blanchett today anyway, right now. I think she's fantastic.
Did you like Leo before The Revenant, or was it after
before.
Really?
I did like The Revenant, but Django is amazing. Catch Me If You Can is the shit. Shutter Island's one of my favorites.
Titanic.
Of all time.
I was going to say, what about Titanic?
That's fine.
Totally. I know. Leo is a very good actor. Wolf of Wall Street, he was excellent.
So much fun.
Yeah, it's true. Almost every film he's made was a blockbuster, right?
He works Martin Scorsese all the time.
Exactly. The Departed.
So he's been the best.
Yeah.
Clint Eastwood, Tarantino, the guy's a genius.
Yeah.
Catch Me If You Can was so good,
wasn't it? That's when Spielberg made his last good movie.
Yeah, and Tom Hanks and it had the nostalgia, but the charm.
The Boston accent.
Yeah.
Great.
Man. Great movie.
Well, talking films today, folks, we had a lot of fun. The film is Cold Chains, Hard Hearts, and Bloody Hands. Try to say that a few times. And it is a spaghetti western movie. The director, Isaac Medeiros, right?
Yes, sir.
And the stars, of course. So how can people see this? I mean, it's starting December.
Well, we're going to do our first test screening December 8th over in Beverly Hills at the Music Hall.
Wow.
And yeah, it'll be pretty cool, man. I'm trying to get as many hitters and good folks in the business as I can.
Industry.
Definitely, man. And then after that, after the initial screening, I'm going to take a little break with it. I'm giving it to my other producers, see what means they can do with distribution. I'd love to get her on Netflix. We have some ins there, so we'll see how that goes.
Nice.
Netflix and Hulu, Amazon, all that good stuff. And we're going to do a couple of other shows up the West Coast and just kind of get people's feel.
Do you do
for
festivals?
Like
is that?
I might. You know, I'd love to just submit to Sundance, see what happens. You never know. Give it a shot.
Go to the top right away.
Yeah, it'd be fun, right?
Yeah.
I would love to give it a try at that. And then, see what distribution angles we can do. We have another film shooting at the end of January, another Western. Bring Me the Head of Trapper Flint, so that'll be fun. And we're going to go shoot that.
Bring Me the Head of Trapper Flint. I love
these wordy titles.
I die in every one of his
movies.
Sure. I'm okay with it. I die in every movie.
Wow. Do you come up with the names? How do you come up with, I mean, these are classic names. Stonewell Worthington. I mean, come on. It's like a Guess Who board.
Yeah. You get really drunk and you sit around with
okay,
a
that's
dictionary and try to think of stuff.
John, what's yours? James Denver?
U.S. Marshal James Denver.
That's like Joe Montana.
Yeah, and he's totally got the look, you know?
Totally.
Oh, wow. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining
us. Thanks for having us.
So, guys, people can find out, I guess, more information just by going on YouTube. You don't need to read a lot. Just watch the trailers. I think it'll sell the movie right there. We definitely want to come and
Please
see
do.
This.
Yeah.
You know, December 8th, if you're in Beverly Hills, or in the vicinity, folks. Let's check it out. It's open to the public.
Yeah, lamel.com. Just punch her in there and type
it again.
Lamel or Lemley.
Lemley.
Lemley.com. Just go on there, type in the title of the film, and it'll come up where it's playing in Beverly Hills, man.
Right. Wow. Awesome. Well, congratulations to you, Isaac Medeiros, Jeff Shea, Glenn Baggerly. Guys, you're amazing. You're awesome.
Thanks for having us.
Much success to you. We always appreciate people that inspire with hard work, a work that's just of love, you know? Absolutely. You don't do it for the money, you know?
I'm in his next film. I want to be a whore named, like, Scarlett Monaghan.
Yeah.
Oh, I like the Scarlett part. That's kind of cool.
Thank you.
Get her in there, Isaac.
Trust me. I will be talking to this guy.
How about Delilah?
Totally involved. Delilah.
Or I like it.
It's kind of a religious Bible thing. Loving it.
We thank you guys so much for giving us this opportunity, truly.
Of course.
Absolutely. We always love having great guests, and you guys are amazing.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. Story. Thank you as always.
Take your Xanax if you're a woman or a human being.
And we'll see you guys tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori only on LA Talk Radio.